Continue our study together this morning of the Gospel according to Matthew, which we've only begun a couple weeks ago. And this morning the text is in chapter 2, the first 12 verses. We have here one of the real mysteries in all Scripture. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." Just who were they, these magi or kings, these wise men? Where did they come from? And how many of them were there? We really don't know. But one thing for sure, you had scribes and Pharisees, professional students of Holy Writ back in Jerusalem, about 5 miles away, that didn't make the walk to Bethlehem. And these men took a journey of hundreds and hundreds of miles, bringing with them great riches to give to the king, the one who was born king, the little babe whom they worshipped. Very probably, as tradition has it, these men were astronomers, men who were aware of what was happening in the heavens. And when they saw his star, they knew exactly what it meant. Perhaps through Daniel, they even had a copy of Scripture. And maybe they identified this star and other things that were happening in the heavens with the ancient prophecy in Numbers 24. "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." Last week, as again this week, I'd like to take you in thought back to the opening chapter of Scripture. And day number 4, when God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And these stars are light-bearing bodies. In scriptural terminology, the planets are also considered light-bearing bodies. Why did God create these things? "Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years," he said. What are the signs? The book of Job mentions the Maseroth. That means the 12 signs. The 12 signs of the zodiac. And we mentioned last week that the very first sign in the zodiac, which goes back very, very ancient to the dawn of history, and all nations have these. The very first sign of the zodiac is Virgo the Virgin. A picture of a woman, a virgin, lying helpless upon her back. Now, each one of these 12 signs has 3 deacons or sub-signs, which kind of explain the main sign. The first sign of Virgo, remember, is a sign called Coma, which is a picture of this same virgin now sitting in a chair, holding in her arms her newborn son and adoring him. Now, it is a matter of recorded record. In astronomical logs, this cannot be denied, it's true, that about the time of the birth of Jesus, a very mysterious star appeared. And when I say about the time of the birth of Jesus, I'm talking about around 150 years before he was born. Astronomers back then tell us that a mysterious star appeared that had never been seen before. And as we follow the record of this star, it was in existence for about 300 years. It faded away about 150 years after the death of Christ and has never been seen since. The star was so bright that you could see it shining even in the daytime. And where in the heavens did that star appear? It appeared in the first subsign of Virgo. In Coma it appeared. The picture of this virgin woman holding her child, and the star appeared right smack dab in the head of that child. There were more things happening in the heavens in those days. With our computers, and I've talked to people that tell me this is true. I don't know anything about computers. But the heavens are so consistent that people tell us, and astronomers tell us, that with computers, they can go back to any day in history and tell us exactly what the heavens looked like at that day. Again, we're talking undeniable fact. Once in a while, not very often, but once in a great while, it does happen that two planets come together, Jupiter and Saturn, and they look as if they're one. And we can take computers and go back and tell exactly what time in history, exactly what day in history these things take place. And every time it happens that these two planets come together, there has been some great thing that's happened in the world, or there's been some great person that has been born. These planets, for example, came together during the year of Noah's great flood. These planets came together the year that a man called Moses was born. They came together when Cyrus was born. Every time these planets come together, something happens. Now, if you were a studier of astronomy and you knew that, what would you look for if it happened in one year where these planets came together not once, not twice, but three times? Never has happened before in the history of the world. Three times in one year, these planets came together. Right smack dab at the time when Jesus Christ was born into the world. And so the heavens were telling the astronomers of the day something. Those who had eyes that could see. And now all of a sudden a mysterious star appears, one that moves. And these wise men knew exactly what was happening. This was no shot in the dark. These men took a long journey, hundreds of miles, and brought great riches with them. Not on a chance, but on the certainty that they knew that the Son of God had been born into the world. This was not a haphazard guess. Now it seems like when they came into the Holy Land, their reason took over. And they started going by sense instead of the sight of that star. They went where you logically would go, to the city of Jerusalem. Where else would the king be born but in the king's palace? And they came to him and they asked him, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Now this got a tremendous reaction. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. It's an oddity, my friends, that the very thing, the very event that brought such joy to the hearts of some brought fear and terror to the hearts of others. With good reason. Satan and his kingdom had better be afraid at the appearance of the Son of God. It happened to the man in the Gadarenes who was filled with devils. "Behold, they cried out, saying, 'What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come here to torment us before the time?'" Now they've got that right. It's just a matter of time. That's all it is. Little wonder Jerusalem was troubled. The book of Revelation spells it out how it's going to happen. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when he is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For great is the day of his wrath, the great day of his wrath is come, and who is able to stand? Little wonder then that they were afraid. They had good reason to be, in one sense of the word. Now Herod, of course, from what we know of him, was a very suspicious man. He's even going to kill his own son. We'll find that out next week. We'll find that out not from Scripture, but he did kill a bunch of children in order to get rid of Christ. And history tells us his own son was one of them, and that's why the saying went around, it's safer to be Herod's pig than it is to be his son. The man suspected everybody. Here he thought there was a rival to his throne. Well, Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, all right, but in another kingdom, Herod doesn't have to worry. But he is worried. And so now, when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? When they wanted to find Christ, where did they look? In Scripture. Same way it is today. We find him in his book. These are the words that the Holy Spirit has given us that testify of Christ. It's as simple as that. If only more people would believe it. You know, this is why that odd scene in the house that day, where Martha was in the kitchen busily preparing a meal, and Mary was sitting out there listening to Jesus, and Martha got all upset and came out and said, Lord, why don't you tell my sister to shag in there and help me with all this work instead of having me do it all by myself? Now, there was nothing wrong with preparing a meal, especially for Jesus, but it was the timing, you see. And Jesus told Martha, 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 you're careful and troubled about many things, but there's one thing that's needful. And Mary has chosen that good thing. It's not going to be taken from her. Fight for that time every day to meditate upon the Word. That's what this is all about. Now, at Bethlehem, there was a very special well. David was born and raised in Bethlehem, and later on, when he was a fugitive, and when the Philistine garrisons were controlling the city, David couldn't get back to Bethlehem. And one night he said this, David longed and said, oh, that someone would give me a drink from the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. There was a well at Bethlehem that evidently had especially clear and pure water in it. And David longed for another drink from that well. If the truth were known, it probably had the best drinking water in the world. And what a picture of Christ, the water of life. What he said about Jacob's well could be printed over every well in this world. Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But from Bethlehem came the water of life. Whoever drinks of the water that I give him, he says, shall never thirst. Well, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now there was a reason for that. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now, of course, he didn't want to worship. He wanted to kill. But it's cleverly camouflaged to look real good. Now, there were scribes of the people and priests in Jerusalem that were supposed to search this thing out, and they came up with the answer. The Savior is supposed to be born in Bethlehem, a whole 5 miles away, and yet they never went. We can only shake our heads in wonder. How can that be? Professional students of the Word, whose hearts are still icy cold when Christ is born 5 miles away. You see how darkness covers their hearts. Well, when the wise men heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You see how the heavens and Scripture are agreeing completely together. Psalm 19 tells us this. The signs that God put in the heavens agree perfectly with the word that he's put in Holy Scripture. And so they follow this star now. And you know what the best part of that star was? That it stopped. It stopped over the place where Jesus was. There are many false prophets in the world who never stop. The book of Jude calls them wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. They're constantly on the move, never really finding Christ. And the people that follow them are constantly on the move, never finding any rest. There is no rest to the wicked, Scripture says. But his star did exactly what it should. It came over to where he was, and it stopped, and it identified him. And that's why his true prophets in Scripture are called stars. The right kind of stars that point to him. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Other people became kings, but this one was born king. And so you have these wise men on their knees worshiping a little baby, a little child. And notice that willingly, with open hearts, they gave him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And right here, my friends, is one of the places where you see how far off the churches of our day really are. No money programs here, no pressure, no gimmickry. You don't have to hire professionals to raise money. The truth of the matter is, you couldn't stop a child of God from giving even if you tried. And so these willing gifts that were laid at the feet of the little baby, not by Jews, they were still back in Jerusalem, but by Gentile people who'd come hundreds of miles. And then, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I'd like to go back for one final thought, as cold as it is, if you can bear with it one more time. It was finally when the book was opened that Jesus was found. In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now there are many people today who are searching for Christ in the wrong places. But he's found the same place he's always found, and that's in Holy Writ. This is kind of like our star that is shining, pointing the way to Christ. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, it says. And you know, there was a time, when three men went up to a mountain. Peter, James, and John, they went up with Jesus. And something very mysterious happened up there. While they were on top of that mountain, all of a sudden, the body of Jesus became metamorphosized. It was changed. And it began, his garments were glowing like the sun. And Moses and Elijah appeared. And Peter was so taken in with this, he didn't want to go back down. He said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three churches up here and we'll stay up on top of the mountain. I wish I could have been there. I would have loved to have seen that. And I know you would have too. Now, Peter was there though. He says, we were with him in the mount. We heard the voice come from heaven. We saw him. But then he says something else. I'm in 2 Peter. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. You've got something better than that vision on the mount. You've got the Holy Spirit's book. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. No human being sat down and put their own thoughts in this book. For the prophets came not, prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This then, this book is the light that's shining in a dark place. May we follow the examples of the wise men. Study it and come to Jesus. We'll have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the witness that you have given us in the signs in the heavens and also in the words of Holy Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit, every one, so that we are not following cunningly devised fables, but have a sure word of prophecy as a light that shines in a dark place, to lead us to our Savior. We now pray the prayer that he's taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.